host for tonight's edition of Word of Mouth News for this Friday, August the 27th of 2010. And tonight we have a packed show. First we're going to go to headlines, and then we're going to have here in the studio, as well as over the phone, folks joining us to speak about the effort to send a Canadian boat to Gaza. This past May, Israeli commandos exercised deadly force on international waters against a six-vessel flotilla bound for Gaza and carrying humanitarian workers, activists, journalists, and international observers. The brutal raid resulted in the deaths of 9 humanitarian workers and the injury of 50 of their peers. Undeterred by this tragic outcome, the international community in solidarity with the people of Gaza continued to work to break the siege. Here in Canada, an effort is underway to get a Canadian boat on the water and join these international efforts to put an end to the Israeli blockade. So we will be joined over the phone by Ihab Latoyev and in the studio by Sandra Roche. And at 6:30 p.m., we're going to turn the mic over to Anti-Psychiatry Radio with Don Weitz. And tonight's edition is a special interview conducted by Mark and featuring Jeffrey Rome speaking about the history of Queen Street Mental Health Facility, also known as CAMH. Jeffrey is a historian and associate professor in the Critical Disability Studies program at York University and has published many books on the subject of psych history and survival in the city, including Remembrance of Patients Past. But before we go into that, we're going to go right into headlines. And I see that somebody is very intent on getting in touch with us over the phone. But while I'm doing the headlines, I really can't not answer the phone. So these headlines come to us thanks in part to Democracy Now!, Al Jazeera, the Canadian Newswire, and the Intercontinental Cry. The United Nations says the flooding in Pakistan has displaced an additional 1 million people in the last 2 days. The warning comes as hundreds of thousands of people are being evacuated from the southern city of Tata. The United Nations Emergency Relief Coordinator John Holmes said the flooding had significantly affected over 17 million people. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council is calling for increased measures to prevent a repeat of the recent mass rapes of almost 200 women and 5 young boys in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Rwandan and Congolese rebels carried out the rapes between July the 30th and August the 3rd within miles of a UN peacekeeping base. The UN was notified days later, but waited 3 weeks to respond. And the Washington Post is reporting the CIA has made regular payments to a number of top officials in the Afghan government. Some have been used as informants, while others have been paid to ensure access for U.S. officials. The payments have continued despite concerns the U.S. is backing the Afghan government corruption it's claimed to oppose. According to the New York Times, one of the officials is Mohammed Saeed Salehi, who was arrested on bribery charges last month. And New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson says he's made progress in talks with Cuban officials on released jail U.S. contractor. We're going to go to South Africa, where its largest labor union is threatening to widen a nationwide state workers' strike in a campaign for increased wages. Over a million state workers have already walked off the job this month. On Thursday, the head of the Congress of South African Trade Unions said all 2 million union members could soon take part in this action. In Israel, a military court has convicted a prominent Palestinian activist who heads a group opposing Israel's separation wall through the West Bank. Abdallah Abu Rama of the Berlin Popular Committee Against the Wall faces sentencing on multiple charges, including incitement. Abu Rama's attorney, Gabby Lasky, said the Israeli military is trying to silence nonviolent protest. In a statement this week, the European Union condemned the conviction, calling Abu Rama a human rights defender whose prosecution could be used to, quote-unquote, prevent him and other Palestinians from exercising their legitimate right to protest. In New York City, a taxi driver stabbed by a drunken passenger in an anti-Muslim attack has spoken out for the first time since the attack earlier this week. The victim, Ahmed Sharif, was slashed across his face, neck, and hands after the suspect, Michael Enright, asked him several questions about his religion, including whether he's a Muslim and observing Ramadan. The attack on Sharif came amidst the ongoing hysteria over a proposed Islamic cultural center near New York's Ground Zero. Enright faces multiple charges, including felony attempted murder, as a hate crime. He's being held without bail, and more reports continue to emerge of anti-Muslim acts. The Council of American Islamic Relations says a man entered a mosque in Queens Wednesday night and shouted anti-Muslim slurs as he urinated on prayer rugs. And the Gates Foundation, a charity run by billionaire Microsoft founder Bill Gates and his wife Melinda, is under criticism following the disclosure of its substantially increased holdings in the agribusiness giant Monsanto to over $23 million. Critics say the investment in Monsanto contradicts the foundation's stated commitment to helping farmers and sustainable development in Africa. In 2007, the Gates Foundation said it will review its holdings after a lengthy expose in the Los Angeles Times revealed it had invested nearly $9 billion in companies whose practices run counter to the foundation's charitable goals. And in Northern Ontario, a group of clan mothers and other members of the Grassy Narrows First Nation have returned to the site of their high-profile logging blockade to stop the Ministry of Natural Resources from interfering with road repairs on their traditional territory. The people of Grassy Narrows are attempting to fix a network of back roads near Ball Lake Lodge, which they obtained through the Mercury Pollution Settlement in the 80s. But members of the First Nation say MNR, the Ministry, enforcement officers have visited the repair site on three separate occasions, harassed the workers, and warned that they may step in to halt the repair effort. After the most recent visit, the community resolved to block MNR's access at Slant Lake, the site of their eight-year blockade, to ensure that the repairs can proceed. The roads are used by community members to access hunting, trapping, wild rice picking, and berry picking areas, and for access to the Ball Lake Fishing Lodge. In addition to the ministry's harassment, former Chief Steve Favister says that, quote, treaty police have been seen in the area patrolling, unquote. He also noted that the Ontario police may be involved. Talks between the First Nations and the province are ongoing with regard to the clear-cutting in the Whiskey Jack Forest. The community is demanding an end to the practice with its traditional land use area, which is within the forest. Along with the eight-year-old blockade, members of the community have also challenged the province's authority to manage the forest through the courts. Ultimately, negotiations for the community are seeking a moratorium on logging until they reach an agreement with Queen's Park of future land use. However, there is growing pressure to harvest on traditional lands as an estimated 2,500 jobs in the depressed forest industry of the region depend on the Whiskey Jack. And one last headline, the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, CUPW, has joined a coalition of Muslim, Arab, and human rights groups that plan on taking a boat to Gaza this autumn. The Postal Workers Union joined the effort after Canada Post announced earlier this month that it is suspending outgoing mail service to Gaza because its Israeli counterpart said delivery to the region was quote-unquote unavailable. In May, the union denounced Israel's interception of the Turkish aid flotilla, in which nine activists died, calling it an act of piracy. In 2008, the union voted to back the boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign against Israel. For its part, Canada Post has washed its hands of the project, saying the effort, quote, is in no way affiliated or supported by Canada Post, unquote. Meanwhile, CUPW called on Canadians to back efforts to break the siege by sending postcards with messages of support to the besieged strip. Dennis Lemelin, national president of CUPW, declared, quote, as postal workers, we know very well that cutting off mail creates suffering and hardship for people who are isolated from their loved ones. How many more abuses will the people of Gaza have to endure? Unquote. And we'll be back shortly to bring to you an interview featuring voices of activists working hard in our community and in other parts of Canada to put a ship on the water and help break the blockade and put an end to the siege. So keep it locked on 88.1. We'll be right back. Here is a musical break. This is CKLN 88.1 FM, your community radio station.
عايشين ورا سجون البنود اللي سجنيننا ما ما يتغير مش حاسين ورا نور الا سياج منها احنا شايفين سما لونا ازرق غيمة ابيض بالنص جمال زكراك انت بخيرك بس انا صامت عايش متفائل ما تعزل من الامل بيجي ضار فاصل بالسور يدور انا مربوط فلسطين كجنين لحبل الطابور بالارض تدور شجر زيتون ضل يتولد وتجدد وتجدد خصور الغصن ممدود السلام معروض الاحتلال ما يريد استسلام ليه انا اللي ما الي حرية لاني انا رافض اني اعيش بعبودية
حرمهم صرنا اولاد حرب نطلب الحريه من السجون المعنيه انه نكون معيون اللي دايما معميه من التفرج اطفال العالم الحره دايما نضل بتدحرج للحياه المطلق هو نشاطين بس بتبهرج الكلام كلهم ماخذين تخرج بتعرج الاوطان واحنا نستعمل قوه عشان الضعف بنتحمل الموت عشان الحياه عملنا بلطف ومش بعسف للحياه انولدنا ولما لقيناها مش بايدينا جربنا نخدها فمدنا وكل اللي طلبناه كان نفس واللي ضحينا عشانه برضه كان نفس انت قولي ليش اطفال العالم حره وانا مالي انا مالي حريه
وين ما رحت اشوف حدود السجن الانساني لاطفال العالم حره وانا مالي حريه وين ما رحت اشوف حدود السجن الانساني لاطفال العالم حره وانا مالي حريه
انا بدي اعيش عالكبد وانا بدي اموت اجرم وانا لساتي شايف الاحتلال مادد ايده مش للسلام مش مساواة بل تيهديني حبل مش لقى
كمان مش ظلام
وجدار اللي فاصل
بيني وبين
اللي ما مخليني اشوف ضوء السماء الواحد وخمسين ولاية تربي كمان ولاية اللي تربى على حساب غيرها بتكثر من امها الهنود الحمر متأملة تمحينا تغسل دماغنا تقولنا انه المشكلة هي احنا
بس حتى جيوش العالم كلها ما بيقدر على الحرية
Welcome back. You're tuning into CKLN 88.1 FM. My name is Susie Alvarez, and you are tuning into this Friday's edition of Word of Mouth News, Friday, August the 27th. We're here in the studio tonight, and we're joined by two people who are behind the efforts to put a boat, a Canadian boat, bound for Gaza to help end the siege. So here in the studio joining me live is Sandra Roche, and she is from the Gaza Freedom March. And on the phone, we have joining us at this point, Ihab Lotayev from the Canadian Boat to Gaza effort. Ihab, can you hear us?
Yes, loud and clear. Hello.
Great. Because we had a delay right at the beginning of the show, I'm going to skip the introduction to this very important issue, and I'm going to go straight to the questions because I'm pretty sure you two will cover everything that needs to be covered on the subject. Can one of you tell our audience what organizations are behind this effort to put this Canadian boat bound for Gaza, and what are the main objectives behind the effort?
Ladies first. Go ahead, Sandra.
Well, the people behind the idea of having a boat from Canada is a wide cross-section of just our Canadian civil society. And fortunately, we have many groups now endorsing it. And but we are just regular, everyday activists who can see that our government isn't doing anything right, and we're here to show the opinion of the Canadian people, which is it's time to end the siege.
So are we talking about a coalition of different organizations that are working here in Canada coming together and putting themselves behind the effort?
More a coalition of humanitarian activists.
Okay.
Many of us belonging to different organizations and groups, but coming in independently and forming the Canadian Group to Gaza Committee organization. Yeah.
Great. And many have described the Gaza Strip as an open-air prison camp. Can you provide us with a more up-to-date picture of what life is like inside Gaza for the 1.5 million people who live there, actually?
Well, Ihab and I have both been in Gaza. I was there twice last year, and it is the largest open-air prison in the world. That's exactly what it is. People trapped inside this tiny area, unable to get out, unable to go anywhere, dependent on whatever can come in. It's very discouraging. You know, there are no jobs. It seems nobody is working. Women spend their day trying to get coupons so that they can go and collect humanitarian aid, food, then try to turn that into a meal for their families. The men can't find work. There's just, it's so absolutely horrible to have to see, but the Palestinian people are very resilient and they always manage to have a smile for you. But it was the faces of the children that shocked me the most last year. They just don't have that sparkle in their eye that we expect to see in our children.
And Israel has a monster PR machine in place working nonstop to lead the general public to believe that its government has actually eased the blockade and that there is no crisis to speak of. What is your response to that claim, any of the two of you joining us tonight?
I'll start just by saying it's a lie. It hasn't gotten any better. And I'll let you go on, Ihab.
Well, the simple fact that the blockade itself exists is unacceptable. Israel is still an occupying power for the Gaza Strip, no matter which way they try to paint it or which way they try to get away from the responsibility that they have towards the people of Gaza. So to occupy a people and at the same time to force an embargo on them, to force a blockade on them that starves them, that has its effects, even if we don't talk about the effects today, the direct effects, that would have effects on generations to come, the way the children are growing up, the way the devastating effect of the invasion and the damage of the war that they launched against the small strip in December 2008, January 2009. And those effects were never managed to be removed or rebuilt after that because the blockade continues. To add insult to injury, a year and a half after this damage, and they still can't get glass for windows to repair the building's windows. They can't get cement. They can't get building material. The list goes on and on and on. And then to talk about easing the blockade, to do a PR stunt, and the world is watching and doing nothing, and our Canadian government is watching and not raising a finger, not saying a word, is really the sadder part of the situation. Israel is committing a crime against the people of Gaza. The world is complicit in that crime for being silent. And as we started here, that is the reason why we as a group of individuals from all over Canada decided that we have to do something. We have to speak up. And we have to do what our government should be doing and try to, with any small contribution, try to counter that blockade and hopefully end it sometime soon. Because otherwise, what people are also not talking about is such an action by Israel is destroying all chances of building a healthy relationship between peoples in the future. And that's devastating. It's the sadder part of the issue that I have visited the occupied territories and Gaza throughout the last 7 years now, many, many times. I always found the Palestinian people not hesitant to speak about the possibility of a peace and a coexistence in the future. Till my latest visits to Gaza last year, when I found people really not ready to discuss or to talk about peace and future anymore. And how can they after what's happening to them? So it's as simple as that. The blockade itself should not exist and should be reversed. Not that we should ease it by allowing in a list of 20 or 30 more products among the hundreds of products that are denied entry and then are even entering in a conditional and drop-by-drop manner that is not acceptable. In addition to that, the blockade has two sides to it. The blockade prevents things from coming in, but it also prevents the people of Gaza to sell their produce out and to their freedom of movement as well, thus making them dependent 100% on international aid rather than starting to build their own economy and their own community and society. And this is another devastating effect of the blockade that we, as one of the boat initiatives that have... We are a continuation, by the way, of many boat initiatives that started many years ago now. And we are building on ideas that came through in Canada over the years to send a boat. But we want to materialize it now, and we are really adding this component of export. We put it as a part of our plan that we want to carry Gazan produce out of Gaza, be it symbolic, because there is not much industry left in Gaza after what Israel did, and be it symbolic, be it some embroideries, be it some pottery, anything, but to say that the people of Gaza have the right to trade and build their own economy.
Well, and how much is needed to send this Canadian boat to Gaza, and what has been the response so far to this drive in terms of endorsements, contribution, and solidarity?
We need $300,000 minimum to purchase a boat, to get it in the water, and to get it heading towards Gaza. We're just beginning, but the response has been overwhelming. Every organization that stands in solidarity with Palestine, humanitarian organizations across the country are writing in now to endorse. And that's what we're asking everyone to do. Go to our website, www.canadaboatgaza.org, and endorse, and get your organizations to endorse, your churches, your mosques, your synagogues.
Will the Canadian boat be part of a multi-vessel flotilla, or would it be sailing on its own? And will the effort here be in charge of selecting the passengers who gets on the flotilla or on the boat, or how will this?
We plan to, we hope to be, and we're coordinating with the Free Gaza International Movement to be a part of a flotilla that will sail together, including ships from the United States, from South Africa, and from Europe. We think that there is a strength in being a part of a larger effort. We also believe that there is a strength for boats to continue going to try to break the blockade in all different sizes and cooperations between different countries, or even alone. It's very important that Israel would see that the world is not staying silent anymore about what it's doing. As far as the passengers are concerned, we hope to have a Canadian passenger list that would include a lot of people who are known in the Canadian society and not only represent themselves, but represent the wider range of the Canadian melange, as we say. And we also want very much to have journalists, and it's really encouraging as well that many of the both the mainstream and alternative medias have already talked to us about having journalists from their organizations on board of the Canadian boat to Gaza.
And what is happening here locally, Sandra? You were speaking to me before about fundraising efforts in Toronto to contribute to this effort, and could you please just expand on that.
Sure. In Toronto, we're very excited about our fundraising idea. On September 25th, we will have a boat in Toronto Harbour going sailing, a dinner cruise with entertainment. Judy Rebick is going to be speaking. We'll have a group called Mariah with Miriam Toller and Rula Said, etc. And we also have George Sawa performing that evening. Should be belly dancers, great Mediterranean food. And our tickets range from $75 to $1,000. We have $300,000 to raise, so we need people to dig deep in their pockets and help make that happen in a really short time. If anyone wants tickets, they're for sale at Beit Zetun and the Women's Bookstore. They can contact me through our website.
And for people who cannot afford to contribute this large amounts or come to the fundraiser, but they still want to contribute either financially or maybe with volunteer hours, how can they become part of this campaign?
If you go to the website, there's a place for you to endorse, to tell how you could help, what you want to do, and whatever city you're in, one of our representatives in those cities will get back to you. So if you're in Toronto, I'll call you really fast.
And the website address is?
www.canadaboatgaza.org.
And I think that wraps it up. We are at 6:29, almost at the 6:30 mark. So I just want to thank you, both of you, Ihab and Sandra, for joining us this evening and for speaking about this very important effort and initiative. And hopefully some of you who have been listening to the show will plug yourselves into this and will also contribute and make it a reality.
Thank you very much, Susie.
On the website, there's also a small competition. We're trying to have everybody involved to choose the name of the boat.
Yeah.
So also people who go to the website, participate in that, please.
Great. So thank you for joining us, and have a good evening, Ihab.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sandra, for dropping by.
Thank you.
And that concludes our first segment on this Word of Mouth News show for this Friday, August the 27th. Please keep it locked on CKLN 88.1 FM. We're going to go to a musical break, and then we'll be back with Anti-Psych Radio.
We've had 50 years of assault on Palestinian rights. I think they're the most terrorized, or at least with the Iraqi people, they're the most terrorized people on earth, and have been for so many years. Practically every Palestinian lives in constant harassment, threat of violence, humiliation, been that way for a long, long time.
مين الهابي انا ارهابي كيف ارهابي وانا عايش ببلادي مين الهابي انت هابي مكلني وانا عايش ببلادي قتلني زي ما قتلت اجدادي
اجل القانون
عالفاضي ما انت يا عدو بتلعب دور الشاهد المحامي والقاضي علي قاضي نهايتي بادي علمك انقل فوق معنى آلية علمك لآلية تصير بالمقابر اكترية ديمقراطية
والله انكم نسية
من كتر ما اغتصبتوا النفس العربية
ابلك ولدك
ولد اسمه عملية انفجارية وهنا ديت ارهابية
يعني ضربتني وبكيت سبعتني واشتكيت لما ذكرتك انك بديت
نطيت وحكيت
ما انتوا بتخلوا ولاد صغار يرموا حجار ما لهمش اهل يدبوهم بالدار ايش كنه نسيت انه ساحب ضب الاهل تحت الاشجار وهلا لما وجع الفار بتناديني ارهابي
مين ارهابي انا ارهابي كيف ارهابي وانا عايش في بلادي مين ارهابي انت ارهابي وانا عايش في بلادي
ليش ارهابي عشان دمي مش هادي حامي عشان رافع راسي وارض بلادي قتلوا حبايبي
انا لحالي
اهلي تشردوا
راح اضلي انادي
انا مش ضد السلام السلام ضدي علي بده يدي تراثي بده يمحي واللي بيحكي كلمه بشد وراه همه بيكون زلمه
تعملوا منه رمه
ومين انتوا لسه امتى كبرتوا اتصلوا قديش قتلتوا قديش شتمتوا امياتنا بيبكوا ابياتنا بيشكوا اراضينا بيخطفوا
انا بقولكم مين
انتو كبرتو بدلا احنا كبرنا فقر من كبر الفوسع ومن كبر الجحر صار في داعي عملتو منه اجرامي وانت يا ارهابي بتناديني ارهابي
مين ارهابي
Hello, my name is Huma Sekela, and whenever I am in Toronto, I only listen to CKLN. That is the station to tune to because, let's face it, is there anything else? CKLN. That's the jammer, mama.